This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Here with Danian Hughes, one of our Chiefs analysts, of course, part of the Chiefs radio network. You'll hear him on the call out in sunny LA at SoFi Stadium this Sunday afternoon, right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. And he's brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. I know you're a baseball guy. You obviously play baseball as well. You sense then we're going to have a Blue October again.
Yes, I do. I'm actually dressed in my blue today. I got my Royals cap right next to me. I feel like we're going to make Thursdays Blue Thursday, and we can still keep Red Friday the same. So let's do it, man. I'm looking forward to a postseason run. You guys have heard me say in the past, one of the most incredible experiences I had here in Kansas City, and now this is prior to the Super Bowl, was the run against the wild card game against the Oakland A's by the Royals. To me, that was the first time that I could actually say that I was a fan of baseball. I'm a former baseball player, and I love the game of baseball, but I never really could say that I was like a Royals fan. But that day kind of put me over the top. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this run.
As for the Chiefs, I'm curious to just get your perspective on where this offense is 3 weeks in. Certainly, you'd rather be 3-0 and try to figure things out than be sitting at 1-2 or 0-3. And so they have that luxury. But do you agree with, I guess, some of the conversation that either we've had or others have had about Patrick Mahomes and his play and this offense not being much different so far than a year ago?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's dead on. I mean, when you consider, like, not only was it abnormal to make the playoffs, but also win the Super Bowl when you're minus 11 in the giveaway takeaway. And that minus 11, I don't put a lot of that weight on the shoulders of the defense. I think the defense did a great job of putting us in position, obviously, to win games and then ultimately win a Super Bowl. But we're minus 2 now after 3 weeks. So we're kind of falling down that same trap. You just kind of wonder if you can make the magic happen the same exact way. Normally you don't see that happen. But, Patrick Mahomes, he's going to be the biggest critic of his own play and the inadequacies or inefficiencies of the offense. And I love that mindset. Even as great as he is, he knows he can be better and the offense can be better. So, yeah, this is not necessarily the course that I think we should go down. The way we did it, the way we accomplished things last year was somewhat of an anomaly. And this year, I don't want to go down that road again. I don't want to be a team that's known for drop passes and coming from behind week after week. I feel like we're a better football team than most, if not all, the teams in the NFL. We're a better football team now, and we got to continue to play that way. Now, having said that, there are teams that have peaked. Like, we've seen the best of certain teams. They might have one win. They might have two wins. But we've seen the best, and they just hope to keep the same energy throughout the rest of the season. We haven't seen the best of the Chiefs. And I think that's an encouraging factor as well, that we can continue to get better. And we are. We've shown that, and I have confidence that we will.
When you look at what they're doing from a deep passing game, how much of that is just they need a few more weeks to get Xavier Worthy under there? He's got more yardage in the first three games than Rashee Rice had in the first three games last year. We know it takes a while, Danian, for wide receivers and Andy Reid's offense to get the proper credit. At some point, do you think that they're going to keep trying to find Xavier Worthy more and more down the field?
Oh, I think so. I think it's a work in progress. Like you mentioned, last year, Rashee Rice, prior to the bye week, was different than after the bye week. That might be the same for Xavier Worthy. But also remember, like we've talked about, when you break the huddle, like specifically this week, when you break the huddle, you're looking to see where number 52 is, Khalil Mack. You're looking to see, you would have been where Derwin James was had he not been suspended. There's going to come a time, or there is a time now, when Xavier Worthy breaks the huddle, the defense knows what they're in store for and what his route tree consists of, and that's deep routes and 4-2-1 speed. So they're prepared for that. That's opened the door up for guys like Rashee and other playmakers to make plays closer to the line of scrimmage. Like, I feel like that's par for the course, but there's going to come a time where he's going to be showing himself as a more complete receiver, running dig routes, hook routes, comebacks on the outside, that complete receiver route tree, and then those deep routes are going to be open. Like, his speed, they're prepared for it now because he hasn't shown anything else yet, but I feel like Matt Nagy and Andy Reid have something in store that will showcase him as a better complete receiver, just like we saw with Rashee.
Dane, the way you talked about Khalil Mack and Derwin James made me think about something else about the offense, which is defense has spent 10-plus years with every team meeting, I imagine, on defense being, how the hell do we stop Travis Kelce? With no answers for a long time, but I imagine he was the first guy they stuck up on tape. Like, what the hell do we do with this guy? How long will it take teams to adjust to, because I think they still are doing that, with Travis Kelce, and instead be like, what if we tried to stop Rashee Rice this week instead?
So it's going to be more difficult to stop Rashee Rice. Not more difficult to stop him than Travis Kelce, but just more difficult to stop him in general because a lot of his mileage comes after the catch. So it's one thing to guard him where you are not allowing him to catch the ball, but if you're able to catch if he's able to catch the ball, just like a lot of receivers where they fall down, they get knocked out of bounds, they get tackled immediately, they're a little bit slight in weight so they don't bounce off of guys. He gets downfield as quickly as anyone in the NFL outside of maybe Tyreek Hill. Like, soon as he catches the ball, he's going north-south, and he's getting elusive. He's spinning off of tackles, getting yardage after catch. He's a top in the NFL, a yardage after catch. And that's tough to guard. So you can game plan the routes. You can game plan the concepts and making adjustments. But when he's moving in motion, that's tough to game plan. You can't put a lockdown corner on a guy that's moving in motion from side to side or shifting from one side to the other or using pick routes downfield. So Travis Kelce might be technically easier to game plan against because you have linebackers that are his size, you have safeties that are his speed, you can run combo coverages. But Rashee Rice, when he's running horizontally on shallow crosses and deep crosses, and then as soon as he catches the ball, he's running faster than your guy on defense and harder and tougher, makes it a tough, tough day for anybody to game plan against. So I think it's a great compliment. At some point, they're going to make a focus of trying to stop him. I don't know if they'll be successful, but then that will definitely open the door for Travis to do his magic.
We're talking to former Chiefs wide receiver Danan Hughes. He'll be on the call this Sunday with Mitch Holthus, Josh Klingler, and Dan Israel right here on 96.5 The Fan. The backfield last week, we asked you about it and how that was going to break out. We saw Carson Steele get 17 touches. We saw Samaje Perine have 6 carries. We now know that Kareem Hunt is going to be active on Sunday along with Perine and Carson Steele. What do you expect from Kareem Hunt? He sounded very, very excited to be back in Kansas City yesterday.
I think that's what we're going to see, is an excited player back on the field. It's one thing to not have played this entire season and have the opportunity, but it's also another thing to have some sense of redemption to a city, to a kingdom. And that's kind of what I expect. I've been in that locker room, guys, and I've been in situations where whether you've had issues at home, issues in your family, maybe some things going on within your team and your teammates or your unit, maybe experience some losses on the field, and you use everything as motivation. Whatever you can tap into, you use as motivation. You think about the guys that have played, the Tom Brady's that say, every week I want to make the other 31 teams pay because I had to be drafted as late as I did in the draft, or other players that talk about being passed up, Aaron Rodgers, et cetera. Like, everything is momentum. Everything is something motivating you to go out on the field. So I can expect that Kareem Hunt is going to be very emotional because he's going to have an opportunity to have some sense of redemption for a team that drafted him and he had success in that rookie season. So, like, him getting an opportunity, he's going to run as tough and as hard as we probably have ever seen him. And I'm sure that's part of the reason why Andy feels so comfortable activating him so quickly.
If you were the Chargers, would you risk Justin Herbert's health knowing the tackles are injured?
That's a tough question because I feel like part of me says yes, because you don't want to get too far behind in the AFC West. You don't want to put your best foot forward, no pun intended. You don't want to put your best foot forward and not hopefully quiet down the Chiefs from them going 4-0. But at the same time, that's one of those injuries that rest is really the only thing you can counter it with. Like, that's the only way you're going to get healthy is rest. Battling through injuries to a certain extent, you always tip your cap to guys that are tough. But then that's when the coaches and the training staff, we've been down that road with Patrick, yeah, where you gotta protect players against themselves, and you got to look at the big picture. So part of me says it's week 4, make a smart decision. The other part of me, from a competitive side, especially if I'm Justin Herbert, says, man, like, we can't afford to give up any game or our best opportunity to get any game up on the Kansas City Chiefs to stop them from this reign in the AFC West.
Justin Herbert's injury status aside, what have you seen from the Chargers through a couple of these games? I know the schedule has been their schedule. They can't do anything about that. It's been kind of soft, though, to this point in time. Have you seen anything offensively outside of J.K. Dobbins that the Chiefs should be concerned about?
That's the number one thing that came to my mind right before you said J.K. Dobbins' name. The running game, the rushing attack, Jim Harbaugh putting his stamp, his DNA on this organization, and them playing solid football to be 2-1, to experience the injuries that they've had. Like, they have a complete mass unit at injuries. You talk about the tackles as well as Justin Herbert, Joey Bosa on that list as well. Like, and now Derwin James out with the suspension, but they are a gritty fighting team, and that defense, even without Derwin James, is still going to be a tough and formidable defense. So they've turned the ball over. They're a top 5 team in the giveaway takeaway. So they're doing things that you would say would warrant a good football team, potentially a very good football team, from a defensive standpoint and running game standpoint. They're not throwing the ball well, but they're not asking their guys, especially with the injury of Herbert, to really take chances and having to throw the ball down the field. They're winning old school style. Tough defense, hard nose running, and that's what we got to be prepared for. I feel like if we can put them in predictable situations, that'll bode well for us. They've always had guys, even when you go back to Austin Eckler, they always had guys that can catch the ball well out of the backfield and make it easy on the quarterback, swing routes, screen routes, angle routes out of the backfield, just to move the ball down the field. And when they've been successful against us, just like most other teams, especially during the Patrick Mahomes era, it's been when they've been successful keeping Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. And that's what the running game does. So for us, that's where our hands are going to be full, stopping J.K. Dobbins and kind of putting it on their defense, moving their defense, keeping them on skates and moving backwards.
Danen Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. You'll hear him on the broadcast this Sunday out in L.A. right here on 96.5 The Fan. And you got another weekend, it looks like, where you don't have to be depressed about your Iowa Hawkeyes. They don't play Ohio State till next week, right?
Yeah, right. I know. We got the Floyd of Rosedale back, so we won one of two trophies this year so far.
Right.
So it's going to be a tough road the rest of the way now.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join MIDI.com.